Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day.
It is Blue Monday on The Savage Nation. Grab a line while you can at 855-400-7282. We'll be sold out within minutes. 855-400-7282. You know, the show is a serial. How did we end up on Friday? If you missed the Friday show, I want to read you a short list of Friday's topics. We talked about a therapy kangaroo. And then we talked about Ruth Bader Ginsburg all in one breath. We talked about what the Second Amendment really means. We talked about Bruce Jenner. I guess he couldn't wait to be a 70-year-old granny tranny. We talked about female genital mutilation being outlawed. Well, how about male genital mutilation? Why is that not outlawed? How are doctors permitted to do that? We talked about an experimental novel I'm writing. We talked about Obama not helping Jordan defeat ISIS. Brian Williams' lies, Obama's offenses, the new amnesty plan, the government media complex. I quoted Cicero, inept Congress, lack of U.S. leadership, the media sorority running America. We learned that Susan Rice is dictating to the generals how to run a war. A woman who never fired a BB gun is now telling them what battles to fight against ISIS and what not to fight. I talked about Obama trying to start a war with Russia. The idiot media delivering ISIS propaganda. Remember I told you that on Friday? Remember I told you it was a lie? I'm the only one in the media who has the brains to understand what's really going on. It's not that people are stupid. They're not paying attention. I am proud to tell you that on Friday, do you remember the stories on all the news outlets, CNN, Fox News, all of them? They all said, ISIS claims Jordan airstrikes killed American hostage. I said, why are you feeding Nazi propaganda on your news channels? Even if that were true, they were using her as a human shield. So why would you feed Hitler's propaganda to the American people? Would you have done that in 1939, 40, 41? It would have been unheard of. But yet we got idiots in the media now who will feed Nazi propaganda to the American people. Jordan's now the bad guy for killing ISIS. You hear this? Well, I told you that A, it was probably a lie. And B, even if it wasn't, you had no right to run a story like that as a headline. That was Friday. And it ended on Friday with me talking about the president's incitements of America, like attacking Christianity for actions conducted 700 years ago by the Crusaders. It's astounding to me what went on Friday. And now we wake up today and we see an evolution of what happened on Friday. Obama goes on the far-left media outlet Vox.com, as in Pox.com. Smallpox would do less damage than Vox.com. It's a child of the evil George Soros. And instead of appearing on a legitimate television outlet where he might, but rarely ask the question, look what happened when he went on CNN with that double agent with the weird eyes, I forget his name. He blames the media for divisiveness in the nation. This is a day after he attacks Christians. Listen to clip 20.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that, A, the balkanization of the media means that we just don't have a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview the way we did 20, 30 years ago. And that just keeps on accelerating. I'm not the first to observe this, but yeah, you've got the Fox News folks and then you've got the MSNBC folks. Technology, which brings the world to us, also allows us to narrow our point of view. That's contributed to it.
If you really listen to what this devious divider just said, your hair should catch fire. We don't have a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview the way we did 20 to 30 years ago. You mean when there was a media monopoly, as in the former Soviet Union, where the news was delivered by three Brian Wilsons in different form? Whether the name was Walter Crankenhouse or any of the other news readers, they were giving us the same garbage. And now what? You can't control the propaganda is what he's saying. And so when you attack Christians and Christianity, you're sorry that we don't have the common view that you were right when you were wrong. So, yeah, okay. Then he wants a constitutional amendment to fix polarization. I cannot believe this. This is astounding what he's doing. So here's the story. I'm not going to make this into an Obama bashing show. It's boring. But Obama is moving so far to the left that he's leaving the entire Democrat Party behind. And as he moves into the so-called twilight of his presidency, let's hope, what he is saying and doing is quite shocking. His words and actions show him to be an extremist of the most violent kind. And I use the word not uncarefully. He is likely to provoke a war with Russia. You see what's going on with Ukraine right now? None other than, what's his name, the bald guy with the weird map of the world on his head, Gorbachev. 2 weeks ago, Gorbachev, a darling of the liberals, a darling of the New World Order liberals, Gorbachev warned that we could have a nuclear exchange with Russia if they back Putin into a corner. And backing Putin into a corner is what Obama is doing, along with the girls who run this country. Girls like Susan Rice, dictating to our military how to fight a war against the Islamofascists called ISIS. They're not allowed to command a missile without one of these crazy girls telling them yes. And you wonder why ISIS is on a blitzkrieg. The only reason they're being pounded is because Jordan finally took the gloves off after they assassinated one of the Jordanian pilots by setting him on fire while he was alive in a cage. Remember that story? Guess it didn't make it to your local newspaper. Would have been a little too violent, and it would have shown you how incompetent this administration really is. Okay, so that's a big story. So now we wake up, Gorbachev says we could have a nuclear war with Russia if they keep pushing Putin into a corner. Now you have a guy like Obama trying to back Putin into a corner. It's not going to happen. Merkel, to her credit, she is the Chancellor of Germany, has been flying around trying to stop a shooting war from breaking out in Ukraine. I don't know if she's going to succeed. Wednesday is the deadline for the two sides to come to some kind of terms. But Obama this morning gave a press conference with Chancellor Merkel, where again he provoked Putin. Again he threatened Putin. Again he said to Putin, well, you know what? We'll suspend a little more, whatever this we're going to do to you or that. But, you know, if you don't come to the table Wednesday, we're going to send arms to Ukraine. Although I haven't decided whether to send arms to Ukraine, I've decided to tell you I'm thinking of sending arms to the Ukraine unless you do what we tell you to do. Russia doesn't work that way. They know nothing about Vladimir Putin. These idiots in the White House know nothing about the Russian spirit. These morons think because they've steamrolled the geldings called the Republicans. These morons and these vicious, dangerous academic morons think that because they've neutralized the media and neutralized the ballless Republicans, the next stop is Moscow. Well, I got a little news for them. The Russians are a very tough people. They're much tougher than we are. And let me tell you something else. They have a history that they remember, unlike this country, which has amnesia when it comes to its own history. The fathers of these Russians, and many of them are still alive, ate pine sap rather than give in to Hitler. You have no idea who you are dealing with. You dummies, you. You dummies, you. All you know how to do is spy on American people, intimidate Republicans, neutralize the media, and you think that that's the same way as running over Putin. It's not going to happen. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. The biggest story over the weekend was fiddling with temperature data, creating the biggest science scandal ever. New data shows that the vanishing of polar ice is not the result of runaway global warming. It was a great article by Christopher Booker in the Telegraph.uk. And he wrote this. When future generations look back on the global warming scare of the past 30 years, nothing will shock them more than the extent to which the official temperature records, on which the entire panic ultimately rested, were systematically adjusted to show the Earth is having warm much more than the actual data justified. So we've been tricked by Al Gore and the gangsters in the warmest industry, as we all knew, as I've been warning you for years. And it's a big article and very important. And I want to give you some data for those of you who have the inclination to follow this. It's two paragraphs long. Are you ready for this? Are you listening? During the Cretaceous period, now I know you're turning the radio show off already. It's not about a slut in Hollywood whose dress fell off. Or about a transsexual who crashed into a car and killed somebody over the weekend. But try your best to focus for another 5 seconds. During the Cretaceous period, which occurred 145 to 66 million years ago, that's long before Obama was even thought of as the president, the mean atmospheric carbon dioxide content over a period duration was 1,700 parts per million, which is 6 times the pre-industrial level. What does that mean? Meaning before industrialization occurred on the Earth, there was a carbon dioxide level that was 6 times higher than the industrial level. And the mean surface temperature over the period duration was about 18 degrees centigrade, which was only 4 degrees above modern level. So it was hotter then. And what is the atmospheric carbon dioxide for October 2014? 395 parts per million. So let me just reverse this for you. The current atmospheric carbon dioxide for 2014 is about 400 parts per million. Okay? 145 million years ago, it was 1,700 parts per million. How do you figure that? If it was so much hotter then, which it was, by the way, because the Cretaceous was a period with relatively warm climate, and it resulted in high sea levels and created numerous shallow inland seas, these oceans and seas were populated with now extinct marine reptiles, ammonites, rudists, while dinosaurs continued to dominate on land during that warm period, 145 to 66 million years ago during the Cretaceous. That's when the dinosaurs ruled the Earth. And at the same time of this warming, new groups of mammals and birds, as well as flowering plants, appeared because warming was actually beneficial to life on Earth. You understand that? But I'm not arguing that we should continue to pollute, nor am I arguing that man is polluting to the point that the Earth is dying at all. I'm just telling you that 145 million years ago, the mean atmospheric carbon dioxide level was about six times that what it was before the pre-industrial level, and at 400 to 1700, about 4 times that of today. And the mean surface temperature over the period of that time was 4 degrees centigrade above modern level. So what does that tell you in a nutshell? That the con men surrounding Al Gore, the con men with the fake solar contracts, the con man in chief in the White House primarily, and the stooges like Brian Williams in the media who feed you the government line, are the most dangerous liars the world has ever seen. They've set not only industry back, but they've set science itself back. In fact, it's the greatest science scandal in the history of the world. And I want to tell you why this is happening. You say, well, I know why, Mike. Don't waste your time. It's all about money. Follow the money. Well, that's part of it. It's about control. It's about control, 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 control. Never forget that. This is an attempt to scare you with a false scare so the government can save you and tax you to death. And I'm going to give you more data on that. But when I was reading about this scandal, the biggest science scandal ever called global warming, I immediately thought of the Lysenko affair, which you probably don't know about. I may be the only one in the American media who knows about the Lysenko affair, because most of them don't have any background in science. I remember studying genetics in the 1950s, late 50s, when genetics was a huge subject, and we were all fascinated by learning the structure of DNA. Watson and Crick put out the double helix. It was the most exciting time in science at that time. I came along a little later, and as a young student, I was excited by science. Sputnik, remember, was launched, and they put a rocket into space. Remember all those days? And then America tried to catch up to Russia. But Lysenko was a big name. What was Lysenko? Why am I comparing this to the Lysenko affair? You know what it was? It was about a fake scientist named Trofim Lysenko, who switched all reality to create false science about genetics. You see, the Soviet agricultural system was dying and people were starving because of communism. Russia had once been a net exporter of wheat, but because Stalin first, pay attention to this, Stalin came along and first he started to attack the middle class farmers. He named them a smeary name in Russian. He called them kulaks. He said they were exploiters, that they were robbing from the people by charging too much for the produce of the land. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like the fairness doctrine? Does it sound like the fairness, a litany that you hear from Al Sharpton and the brigades of the vermin on the left about fairness? So they attacked the farmers in the Soviet Union. Then what happened is they took over the farms. And what happened was 30 million Russians starved to death. So because the government can't manage anything. It couldn't do it in Russia and it can't do it here. So along comes Stalin, and he finds this crackpot Lysenko, who says that he has found a new way to increase agricultural production in Russia. It was a complete lie, and it was fake. In other words, science had become a stepchild of politics. This is exactly what Obama has done to medicine. It is what has he done to science. It's what he's done to reality itself. We are living in a new Soviet era in America. I'll be right back to explain what I mean in more detail and the madness of the times right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So the president complains over the weekend on a far-left website, or a TV outlet, a web TV thing, that we no longer have common facts and a common worldview the way we did 30 years ago when the media was dominated by phonies like Wilson or whatever his name. I can't remember his name. Williams. And he's upset that people have a wider access to facts today. So people can decide for themselves what the truth is, right? So he's upset by that. Again, this can't be possible. Either there's something getting better with me, either my show's getting better or worse. I don't understand it. Am I taking too long to explain an idea, or do I need more time to explain an idea? I feel as though you have to tell me. But I'm going to tell you about the perversion of science and medicine under this administration. How predetermined conclusions are dictated by a psychotic administration.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Look, I could talk about the tranny granny, Bruce Jenner, and skip the whole thing about the lies of global warming and the facts behind the lies. I could just talk about how could you even pay any attention to this lunatic. A man who has a sex change operation to get attention. I mean, he couldn't wait to become a 70-year-old grandmother. That was his life goal. Do you know any woman who wants to be a 70-year-old grandmother? I mean, if you become one, you know any woman who at 30 who wants to be a 70-year-old? He couldn't wait to be a woman at 70. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, how crazy the media is for buying into this lunatic's PR ploy? Look at his daughters. Do you have to go any farther than that? Look what he created in daughters. But I'd really rather talk about the greatest science scandal of our lives. And I've been trying to do it, and I'm trying to tell you why this is happening and in what context it fits. So I went back to the Lysenko affair, something you haven't heard on Fox News because none of them went to college. They went to college, but they didn't learn anything. Let's put it that way. They learned law, maybe. They learned politics, but they didn't learn science. And Lysenko was a crackpot geneticist in Russia in the 40s and 50s, 40s, right? And he manipulated and distorted scientific data about genetics to give out the predetermined conclusion dictated by the Stalinist regime in order to convince the Russian people that the theories of evolution that had preceded, based upon Gregor Mendel, Mendelian genetics, were invalid. And this political crank, Lysenko's concept of breeding plants, was the way to go, and it would increase the crop yield in Russia. Well, it was not, unfortunately, didn't work. It didn't work at all. Nevertheless, the core of Lysenkoism was to reject the work of Gregor Mendel, and to denounce the concept of genes as idealist. Did you hear this? In other words, anything that didn't please Stalin, he called idealist. And that was one of Stalin's favorite snarl words for ideas he found unacceptable. And the point I'm making is you don't have to follow it from a science point of view. You don't have to be a genius in science to follow any of this. It was a fake. The science was all fake. And anyone who stood up to Lysenko in the Soviet Union in that day were publicly denounced the way Obama denounces people today. They lost Communist Party membership the way you are thrown out of clubs today. I don't mean nightclubs. If you express conservative views, you can lose jobs if you talk about affirmative action being a disaster for America or about the lie of global warming. You can be thrown out of your job. And in those days in the Soviet Union, you could have been arrested by the secret police if you said, wait a minute, this Lysenko business is crap. Now, what you don't know is that this guy Lysenko had such a grip on science. Many, many of his opponents disappeared in the Soviet Union. Did you know that? They weren't just dismissed from their academic jobs. They disappeared. And similar political strong-arm tactics also hobbled the Soviet nuclear physics program because they were required to follow only theories that had the Communist Party's blessing. Did you hear this? Now, let me bring it down home. Let's bring it all down home. In America, right now, we're facing a measles epidemic brought in by Obama's massive influx of illegal alien children from Honduras and Central American countries this summer. 100,000 of their mothers and them came in. Many of them were unvaccinated or, frankly, carrying the measles virus, the EDV-68 virus, which has caused death and paralysis, tuberculosis. He flooded America with sick immigrants this summer. And yet, the stooge at the CDC, this Thomas Frieden, who one day should be held up on war crimes charges for crimes against humanity for what he's doing, just as in the Soviet Union, I'm telling you, the truth will come out. And one day when the truth comes out, we need to have tribunals for these evil men. They're no different than the good Germans, and they're no different than the good Russians. They're no different than the Lysenkoists in the Soviet Union who lied and made certain that all science was ideologically pure, if you're following me. So this guy like Thomas Frieden at the CDC won't even tell you that this measles outbreak is coming from them. He'll tell you it's because of the elites in America or parents who are concerned and don't vaccinate their children. That's a minuscule reason. The maximal reason is the influx of illegal aliens with the measles virus. That's number one. But it's much broader than that. Now we go to the global warming lie, which has become a monstrous trillion-dollar machine. And anyone who disagrees with it, with the facts showing there is no global warming, there has not been any man-made global warming. And no matter how many facts you present, tell me what happens. Public denunciation, loss of Communist Party membership, meaning loss of membership in the Democrat or Republican parties, maybe a loss of a job, and maybe even worse. And as a result, science under Obama is dying. Medicine under Obama is dying. See, I don't talk about Obamacare. I talk about medicine, the science of medicine. Obama is a Soviet-era strong-arm tactician. And as such, he's hobbling medicine and science. And that's why America is now crippled. Now you say, well, wait, Michael, come on. I agree with what you've said so far. But if the Soviet science was so crippled, how did they get the hydrogen bomb? They stole it. The Russians, because they had killed nuclear physics, where Soviet scientists were only allowed to follow theories that the Communist Party's blessing, they stole working designs from the United States, including the decisive Teller Ulam hydrogen bomb design. Did you know that? The Russians, they couldn't develop it themselves because the scientists weren't able to follow any theories other than those that they were allowed to follow. And so they stole the hydrogen bomb design from us, and so forth and so on. Eventually, the Soviet Union rejected Lysenkoism. It fell out of favor in the mid-50s and early 60s as Nikita Khrushchev tried to de-Stalinize the Soviet Union. And then Lysenko himself was stripped of his power as head of the Soviet Agricultural Academy in 1956, and he slipped into obscurity afterwards. So what is the comparison to today? The comparison today are far-left writers, far-left so-called journalists, far-left academics, who continue to advocate global warming, continue to advocate the most obtuse theories that have no validity whatsoever. And we have to free ourselves from this. It won't happen this year. It won't happen next year. It may not happen for a few years. But we will rid ourselves of these Stalinist types in America. It will happen in our lifetime. And I wanted to give you a background on Lysenko because the minute I read that article over the weekend, the fiddling with temperature data is the biggest science scandal ever. The bell that went off in my head was a light bulb went off, Lysenko affair. Now, that's how my mind works. I immediately do associational thinking. I don't sit down with a pencil and pad and say, okay, what does that mean? I don't go to the news outlets to see what that means. I am lucky in a couple of regards that I'm on radio, and you're lucky that I'm on radio. I'll tell you why. Because my time on Earth is sufficient to have had some experience. My time on Earth has been well spent by to this date with a lot of learning and reading and studying, and my learning goes back a long while. You understand what I'm saying to you? You got to understand something. I entered university, I think it was in 1959. Think about that. My first year in college was 1959. I earned my PhD years later. I was a grown man. I was working jobs. I had earned two master's degrees. I had to continue working and supporting a family, paying for my own research. But I didn't get my doctorate until 1978 when I was quite older. So my experience and my academic experience, my world experience is kind of over a long period of time. So the minute I read about this story, fiddling with temperature is the biggest science scandal ever. What are the key words that went off in Michael Savage's head? Science scandal. What came to mind? Lysenko affair. And I thought all weekend, how am I going to explain that to a popular audience on radio? Will they buy it? Are they interested in it? And I had to do a calculus. Should I talk about that or talk about a transsexual who couldn't wait to be a tranny granny? I mean, which one should I do? I did both. At the end of the day, I decided, here's what I decided. The people who tune into talk radio in general are somewhat of a higher IQ than those who just watch the evening news under Williams, that type. I mean, that's for the average yold. The moron watches the nightly news and thinks he's learning something. That's the kind of guy who reads the San Francisco Chronicle or, let us say, a newspaper from cover to cover and thinks he's up on affairs. I went to a restaurant again. I have to bring everything down to me in restaurants. I give up. Friday night, crowded restaurant, small town. I sat in the corner. Next to me were four people. I gritted my teeth. I knew it was coming. Jammed in, jam-packed. I don't mind. Everyone wants to have a meal. Well, my luck was one of them at the table was lecturing the rest of them on his knowledge on current affairs. He knew everything. He was an expert and up on every current event. He could talk in detail about Obama, and he could talk in detail about Williams, and he could talk in detail about global warming. I could hardly eat because I was suffocating. I was getting sick listening to him because he was such an ignoramus. No, he wasn't bad-looking. He was an average-looking American white male and probably went to college. Probably makes a decent living, probably has 2.1 children, probably drives an Audi. I don't know what he drove. I think he did, actually, when I saw him leave with the... What I'm saying to you is it's insufferable to listen to the average person who thinks they're educated, who know very little. They're just not that knowledgeable. They don't understand things. Now, remember what we do in talk radio, not only myself, but anyone who's good at this, really spends a lot of hours a day reading everything they get their hands on. Everything. They sort and sift. You know, that's my job. From early in the morning to late at night, I sort and sift through every piece of paper, every article I can get my hands on that's valid on any particular subject. Then I have to think about it without thinking about it. I have to go out in the garden. I have to walk the dog. I have to cook. I have to take a shower. I have to run. I have to bicycle. You know what I'm saying? And in the midst of all that, my mind is sorting through the data and trying to come up with a cogent method of explaining it to you. Say, how do you do it without having a mental breakdown? I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It's called carrying the world on your shoulders. None of us make enough money in this business for the amount of work that we actually do. But we do it for one reason, and there's only one reason. You know what that reason is? Because the truth shall set us free. It's the only thing that can save us from the Obama-Soviet era that is emerging around us, is truth, truth, truth. And I have a grandchild. I have children and a grandchild. And I don't want to leave the world a prison camp that is being erected right in front of our eyes. The prison of lies can only be dismantled by the truth. And on that particular note, I'm going to take a long, deep breath. I'm going to go have a diet soda, and I'll be back to pick up your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I'll take your calls in a minute, but here's a story you have to hear to show you the insanity of our times. Feminist aborted her son because he was a boy. She said, I couldn't bring another monster into the world. She said her body turned on her. A so-called feminist. She said, my body had betrayed me. It had betrayed me. I was in shock. She said, I started crying, weeping at the thought of what I was about to curse the world with. She decided that she could not bring another boy into this world. She explains, I couldn't bring another monster into the world. We already have enough enemies as it is. Now, feminism is a mental disease at this level. You understand that? To say that all men are inherently monstrous is Nazism. It's eugenics. But then she's not alone in that thinking, if you want to call it thinking, in that pathology. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court injustice, when asked last week, when would you be satisfied with how many women on the Supreme Court, she said nine. So feminists are by definition extremists, and in this case, insane. How would a feminist feel if a man said that all women were inherently monsters, even as babies, and didn't deserve to live? Well, in China, they used to kill girl babies. Did you know that? That was a horrible thing to do, wasn't it? So now what? The feminists are killing boy babies? They're aborting them because all men are inherently monstrous to the psychos? Just thought I would share that with you. Now let's go to some callers. Line number one. Give us your name, station, and topic. Go ahead, please.
KCMO, Kansas City. My name's Bill. You know, Michael, it's occurred to me, and I've meant to call in many times, but no matter how many Republicans, no matter how good they are, we send to Washington, they wind up turning on us. And this is just my opinion. I think that when they get there, they are threatened with their life to go one direction and one direction only, or else we'll take out your family, we'll take you.
No. I don't believe that for a minute. That's not how it works. It's much more subtle than that. I must tell you how it works. Here's exactly how it works. The young congressmen are set down at a meeting, a closed-door meeting, with the party elders, the Whigs, like Boehner, McConnell, and the old-style type. And here's what they're told. They say, look, here's what you got to do. We've got to win the majority. We've got to keep going along on this middle road. We'll get where you want to go eventually. But I'll tell you right now, there's no room for any of you to be, what's the word I'm looking for, loose cannons. If you step out of line, if you start giving any speeches, if you say things that are against the party, here's what's going to happen. We will cut off all funding to your district. You will starve to death. You'll be a one-term congressman. You will be stripped of all committee assignments. You will have no authority whatsoever to disperse money or to disperse any policy advice. And I'll tell you something, boys and girls. You were out in the cold a long time. Now you're not. You're in a nice warm house called the U.S. Congress. It's warm in here. And you know what? You're going to be thrown out into the cold if you dare step out of line. That's all they got to say to them. That's the end of the road. And that's why some wonderful people are now silent. They've been silenced by the machine. That's how it really works. Their lives are not threatened. But this is what happens when you have a system that is dying of rigor mortis. The two-party system is a system of rigor mortis filled with two gangs that simply divide up the treasury and devise methods to rob more money from the people than the people even have. And so they print the money. When they can no longer rob the money that is required for their greed, they print the money. That's the death of a nation. And the truth shall set us free.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day.
These are troubling times. I mean, we have war and rumors of war everywhere we turn. There's war, internal war. There's international war brewing. I mean, there's a war going on in the Middle East, as you know, with the Nazis on the rise again. Now they're called Islamists. Then they were called Nazis, killing minorities, enslaving them. But when they crossed the line and killed a Muslim pilot from a very high-born family in Jordan, they crossed a line that they're never going to be able to go back from. And Jordan unleashed hell upon them. Jordan finally did what Obama could have done but hasn't done. Now in the Ukraine, we have lunatics like you, lunatics, not like, we have lunatics such as John McCain and Ted Cruz demanding that we arm Ukraine. Now you know what that's going to do. War and rumors of war. Tell me what arming Ukraine will do, Mr. Cruz. You're now finished. You are no longer a libertarian. You're no longer a conservative. You are a neocon. Listen to clip 8. This is clip 7. Ted Cruz pushing the United States to send weapons to Ukraine. Listen.
When it comes to Russia and Ukraine, the path we're on doesn't make any sense. We need to be providing defensive arms to the people of Ukraine. We have a treaty obligation to stand with them, and we need to come together and provide defensive arms so that they can stand up against this Russian aggression.
Finished. Put an X through Ted Cruz. He has now joined the warmongers. He's part of the neocon brigade. He's been obviously talked to. And who advised him to do this? I'll never understand. Who is this man listening to? I don't quite get it. Why would a man who is a non-interventionist from the sort of Rand Paul school of libertarianism, why would he suddenly be wanting to stir up a war with Russia? He's saying give arms to Ukraine? What are the arms used for, Mr. Cruz? Well, to shoot people. And what are the heavy weapons used for, Mr. Cruz? Why, to bomb people. And so when you shoot and bomb the Russian separatists in Ukraine, tell me what's going to happen. Why, this is a client state of Russia. Russia's going to enter the fray if they're proxy army gets in any trouble, and you're going to start a war with Russia. Now, Germany, to their credit, is against the Ukrainian demand for arms to fight the rebels. Germany opposes it. So does France, incidentally. Mr. Hollande said this. He said, if we're not able to reach not a compromise but a durable peace accord, we perfectly know the scenario. It has one name. It is called war. Do you want war? Is that what all of you people out there want? You want war with Ukraine? I mean, war with Russia over Ukraine? Do you have any idea how this plays into the hand of the radical Muslims? Do you have any idea how excited they are that Obama is so distracted with Russia because of bad advice or worse, that instead of attacking and annihilating ISIS, he wants to go to war with Russia? Think about that. Russia is our natural ally against radical Islam. But no, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend is an old adage, isn't it? They're very happy with this. There was an interesting article over the weekend entitled Why Hitler Wished He Was Muslim. It was written by Dominic Green in the Wall Street Journal. Why Hitler Wished He Was Muslim. The Führer admired Ataturk's subordination of religion to the state and his ruthless treatment of minorities. Does that ring a bell to you? Listen to this. It's been our misfortune to have the wrong religion, Hitler complained to his pet architect, Albert Speer. Why did it have to be Christianity with its meekness and flabbiness? Islam was a mono-religion, a religion of men, and hygienic too. The soldiers of Islam received a warrior's heaven, a real earthly paradise, with wine flowing, said Hitler. And this, Hitler argued, was much more suited to the Germanic temperament than the Jewish religion and the priestly twaddle of Christianity. Did you hear this? And Dominic Green writes in the Wall Street Journal, for decades, historians have seen Hitler's beer hall putsch of 1923 as emulating Mussolini's 1922 march on Rome. Not so, says Stefan Ehrig in Otto Turk and the Nazi Imagination. Hitler also had Turkey in mind, and not just the 1908 march of the Young Turks on Constantinople, which brought down a government. And there's a very, very fascinating piece of history there. So Hitler admired Turkey. Hitler admired Islam. Hitler admired the heroic spirit. The Führer wanted absolute obedience, and Islam was the perfect religion because it demanded absolute obedience, while Christianity did not. As David Motadel writes in Islam and Nazi Germany's War, Muslims fought on both sides in World War II. Did you know that? Muslims fought on both sides in World War II. But only Nazis and Islamists had a political spiritual romance. Both groups hated Jews, Bolsheviks, and liberal democracy. Both sought what Michel Foucault, praising the Iranian Revolution in 1979, would later call the spiritual political transfiguration of the world by combat. The Caliph, the Islamist Zaki Ali explained, was the future of the believers, the Caliph. So you have to understand what's going on. By 1941, Germany controlled large Muslim populations in southeastern Europe and North Africa. Nazi policy extended the grand schemes of Imperial Germany toward madly modern ends. To aid the liberation struggle of Islam, the German propaganda ministry told journalists to praise the Islamic world as a cultural factor, avoid criticism of Islam, and substitute anti-Jewish for anti-Semitic. In April 1942, Hitler became the first European leader to declare that Islam was incapable of terrorism. Can you believe this? The Palestinian Arab leader Haj Amin al-Husseini, Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, recruited thousands of these maniacs as the first non-Germanic volunteers for the SS. Soviet prisoners of Turkic origin also volunteered in the Muslim brigades. In November of 1944, we read, Himmler and the Mufti created an SS-run school for military imams at Dresden. Haj Amin al-Husseini, the founder of Palestinian nationalism, is notorious for his efforts to persuade the Nazis to extend their genocide of the Jews to the Palestinian mandate. The Mufti met Hitler and Himmler in Berlin in 1941 and asked the Nazis to guarantee that when the Wehrmacht drove the British from Palestine, Germany would establish an Arab regime and assist in the removal of its Jews. Listen what Hitler said. Hitler replied that the Reich would not intervene in the Mufti's kingdom other than to pursue their shared goal, which was the annihilation of Jewry living in Arab space. The Mufti settled in Berlin, befriended Adolf Eichmann, and lobbied the governments of Romania, Hungary, and Bulgaria to cancel a plan to transfer Jews to Palestine. As a result, some 400,000 Jews from these countries were sent to death camps. Mr. Motadel describes the Mufti's Nazi dealings vividly, but he also excels in unearthing other odious and fascinating characters, including Zeki Kiram, the Ottoman officer-turned-disciple of Rashid Rida, founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. Did you hear this? And Johann von Leers, a Nazi professor who converted to Islam and became Omar Amin, an anti-Semitic publicist for Nasser's Egypt. So, the Muslim Brotherhood has foundations and roots in Nazism. The Muslim Brotherhood was thrown out by this fabulous, brave leader of Egypt. Remember? Who was it who went to Egypt and told the leader of Egypt to restore the Muslim Brotherhood? None other than the lunatic madman war criminal John McCain. The lunatic madman war criminal John McCain, who was now trying to start a war with Russia. That maniac went to Egypt and dared lecture the Egyptians, saying, no, you don't want this general to run your country. We want the Muslim Brotherhood restored. You remember that? Now this lying drunk. You have no idea the contempt I have for John McCain. This man should be arrested as a war criminal. He is now on Fox News demanding that we arm Ukraine in order to start a war with Russia. This is the same SOB maniac who went, do you remember what he did? Went to Egypt and said, put the Muslim Brotherhood back in power. This is the same SOB, John McCain, who went to Ukraine and overthrew a duly elected leader and brought about the mess that's there now. He is a war criminal. John McCain should be arrested by Interpol and tried for crimes against humanity. I know these are harsh words coming from merely a talk show. What am I? I'm just an observer. What, because you didn't read this in the New York Times? It's an invalid statement? What would you say to a man about a man who wherever he goes, he wants weapons and war? Wherever he goes, he tries to overthrow a government. What would you call that, a good man? What, because he was in the U.S. Navy, that makes him a good man? Either the guy is crazy or dangerous in either case because he's stupid. I don't know the answer. But nevertheless, the introduction was entitled Why Hitler Wished He Was Muslim. It's based on an article by Dominic Green, which I quoted from in the Wall Street Journal. And now you know how Hitler and Islam were good close cousins. And now you understand the cancer of radical Islam and how it threatens not Jews, but freedom itself. We now go to unprotected calls in the Savage Nation. When I call your number, kindly give us your name, your station, and your topic. Would you please do that? Line number 5, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Bob, WABC New York, for 2 hours and one stream in radio. My question was, last Friday you spoke, touched very briefly, but spoke about Islamic sleeper cells in all the states but Alaska. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little on that, if you knew anything more than that.
Well, the FBI director said it quickly at a closed-door conference a week ago, and it was brushed up by the news because it would make Obama look like what he is. The FBI director was trying to step free of the Soviet Obama regime, who's telling us he's got everything under control. He doesn't have everything under control. He has admitted hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegal aliens, and tell me how many of them were radical Islamists ready to kill us. The FBI director said they don't know, but they're here. They're everywhere in every state but Alaska.
Why not Alaska, do you know?
Oh, why not Alaska? I don't know why not Alaska. Maybe it's too cold for them.
Too cold for them?
Maybe the Muslims don't like the cold. I don't know the answer.
And then the other thing was you had spoke about also an aggressive attack in the next 6 months on Second Amendment rights by Obama. What do you feel that's what's coming?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you watch the pace at which he is moving to the left and exhibiting his pathologies, all of his academic leanings on the left have been coming out of him it's almost as though he's on Truth Serum and he stripped his mask off and he's showing us the real Obama. So he attacks Christianity, attacks Jesus the other day. So tell me what's left of this radical's agenda. Tell me what's left of it. Well, you know, guns are high on the list. You know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's got one little problem. He's got a Republican Congress. And as meek as the Republicans might be, they're not going to go along with gun grabbing in any way. So I would say look for an executive order within the next 6 months by Obama trying to do some damage to the Second Amendment. That's what I see happening. And then it's going to have to go to the full Congress to override it. And I don't know how many Democrats would dare stand up to Obama's attack on the Second Amendment, knowing that their party is extremely vulnerable right now because they've been exposed for what they are, which is this nightmarish mishmash of left-wing fanaticism, academic viciousness, and outright lies supporting Islamism. Does that answer your question?
Sure does. Appreciate you, Mike.
Well, I do the best I can, and I'll tell you how to do the best you can, by the way, because Valentine's Day is only 5 days away. Did you hear me? It is. It's coming right up. And it's just this weekend. So, well, look, everyone has deals for Valentine's Day, right? Well, Pro Flowers has some of the best this holiday. But wait a minute. Today it gets even better. And nobody knows flowers better than Michael Savage. Are you listening? Don't wait until Thursday to do it at your last minute. If you do it today, right now, they'll give you an additional 15% off their already killer deals. That's just for my listeners. Did you hear me? 15% off. It's on everything on my page when you enter my code. 2 dozen assorted roses, decadent chocolates, free glass vase, $29.99. You can't afford that. And today only, you can get an extra 15% off of those already great deals. How do you do it? Go to proflowers.com. Use my code SAVAGE. But remember, that 15% off is only for today. Are you listening to me? This is easy. It's quick. It's delivered exactly the way you want it. They last for a very long time. Nobody knows flowers like me. I love Pro Flowers because they last forever. They're beautiful. They're all high-end roses. They're not, you know, kind of the meek, limp, liberal roses. These are proud, proud conservative roses. I want you to go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and you type in Savage. You're going to get 15% off, but listen to me. This deal expires tonight at midnight. Go to proflowers.com, go to the blue mic, and type in Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Talking about a Soviet system that is emerging in this country. It didn't start with Obama, but it's escalating with Obama, where we see the manipulation or distortion not only of the news, which is an old story, but of science and medicine, where predetermined conclusions, as dictated by the sorority that runs the nation based on their left-wing ideological biases, in order to push a social or political objective, whatever the case may be. And I was saying to you on this show, on the Savage Nation, that only the truth can set us free from this Soviet system that is emerging. Samsung smart TV privacy policy. Did you hear about this over the weekend? We were warned by Samsung that the TVs, their smart televisions, are listening and watching us. Did you know that? And one of my listeners sent me this. They said George Orwell's 1984 has this in it. Behind Winston's back, the voice from the telescreen was still babbling away about pig iron and the overfulfillment of the 9th 3-year plan. The telescreen received and transmitted simultaneously. Any sound that Winston made above the level of a very low whisper would be picked up by it. Moreover, so long as he remained within the field of vision, which the metal plaque commanded, he could be seen as well as heard. There was, of course, no way of knowing whether you were being watched at any given moment. That was George Orwell's 1984. And now under Barack Obama, we see this going on with the thought police from the NSA and so many other of his spy agencies are listening and watching us under the guise of national security.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation, and we're talking about so many different topics. The one I ended on in the last break was about, is your TV listening and watching you? Now, you could say that's paranoia. Well, no, it isn't. According to the Samsung Smart TV privacy policy, listen to what's going on. Your television is now listening to you. Samsung says you can control your smart TV with voice commands. And if you enable voice recognition, you'll be able to interact with your smart TV using only your voice. And in order to provide you with the voice recognition feature, Samsung may silently collect and your voice may capture voice commands and associated texts so that we can provide you with voice recognition features. Please be aware that if your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, that information will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party through your use of voice recognition. They don't add have a nice day, but basically they're telling you they're listening in on you. Now, the listener who sent me this then sent this, George Orwell's 1984. And here's the paragraph. Behind Winston's back, the voice from the telescreen was still babbling away about iron and the overfulfillment of the 9th 3-year plan. The telescreen received and transmitted simultaneously. Any sound that Winston made above the level of a very low whisper would be picked up by it. Moreover, so long as he remained within the field of vision, which the metal plaque commanded, he could be seen as well as heard. There was of course no way of knowing whether you were being watched at any given moment, how often or on what system the thought police plugged in on any individual wire was guesswork. It was even conceivable that they watched everybody all the time. But at any rate, they could plug in your wire whenever they wanted to. you had to live, or did live, from habit that became instinct, in the assumption that every sound you made was overheard, and except in darkness, every movement scrutinized. That was written in the book 1984 by George Orwell. He, of course, has been one of my mentors all of my life. Ever since I first read his books, I realized what world I was living in. And little did you think it would come from the left, did you? You thought it would come from Nazis, right? Well, you were sort of right. It is coming at us at an accelerated pace from the National Socialists under Obama. That is true in that regard. But you thought it would be, they would be speaking German, they'd be wearing boots, combat boots, they'd have shaved heads, they'd have armbands with a swastika on it. Little did you know that they wouldn't be singing the Horst Wessel song. And little did you know that it would be the sorority of girls around Obama who was doing this to us at this accelerated pace. Go think. You would never have guessed that the nice progressive women who have browbeat you your whole life would turn out to be the liberal Nazis that you've always feared. And they don't even speak German. How does that work? Anyway, those are just random thoughts of the savage nation. Whether you approve of them or not doesn't matter to me. I still have free speech. And so I will express my opinions as best I can, trying really not to insult as many people as possible, but to attract as many people as possible without insulting them. But nevertheless, in this world that we live in, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, if you tell the truth, you're going to insult at least half your audience all the time. And if you want to get even with me and anything I said, you have access to this show by dialing 855-407-282. The rules are very simple. If you insult me, I'll insult you back as bad radio. If you want to argue with me, that's another story. Try to use logic and scientific method. Use reason. You're just going to get up here and start screaming, I'll hang up on you. That's simple as that. I don't know who you are. I'm going to read out numbers. When your number is called, you give us your name, your station, and your topic. How's that? Okay, line 9. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
This is Don calling on the Internet, or listening on the Internet to KSFO. I live in Oregon. My topic is the politicizing of science. In about 2005, 2006, I went to a Freedom Works meeting, seminar, and the ex-state climatologist from Oregon was on the program. He made a slide presentation of the current orthodoxy from the state office on national temperatures and warming. And that started about 1950 and went through the current time, which is 205, 206. And it didn't look real good. It was definitely an increase, a steady march up in temperatures, even though they kind of plateaued at that time. And then this ex-state climatologist presented his slideshow, and his started in about 1920, again showing national temperatures. And lo and behold, about 1933, temperatures nationally peaked higher than anything current. So that, you know, kind of immediately told me this whole thing was questionable.
Yeah, global warming it ceased, by the way, by the late 1990s. I'm giving you NASA satellite data. According to NASA satellites and all ground-based temperature measurements, global warming actually stopped in the late 1990s. And this is when CO2 levels have risen almost 10% since 1997. So the big bugaboo is that CO2 emissions are killing the Earth, but it proves the opposite is true. It has nothing to do with temperature. It was a completely false theory.
Well, to make the whole argument even more dishonest, in my opinion, nobody fails to mention that the temperature recording stations have been migrating to metropolitan areas out of more rural areas. And the oceans of pavement in urban or metropolitan areas raise the temperature no matter what.
So I see what you mean. Right. You're no longer reading the temperatures in any fair manner. It's now such a biased manner because it's reading them inside cities.
Exactly.
But there's much more to it than that, and I refer anyone who has a real curiosity about this to research the Vostok Ice Core Studies, V-O-S-T-O-K, because the Vostok Ice Core Studies, amongst everything, are the simplest to understand, because the Vostok Ice Core samples were dredged up from 10,000 feet below the surface. I believe that was the number. and it showed that carbon dioxide levels began to rise after global temperatures began to rise. In fact, it showed that CO2 levels began to rise 800 to 14 years after it. So that puts the skids under the certainty, which increases in CO2 levels, was the lone forcer in global warming. It's a complete lie. Obama's lying. It's Soviet science. And it, now let's go take it down to this, the measles epidemic. The measles epidemic, they're telling us they don't know where it came from. In the year 2000, the measles in this country was largely eradicated. And then Bill Clinton busted the borders with Mexico. Bill Clinton started to erase the southern border. Measles started to recur. Resurgence occurred. Same with other diseases. And now it's spiking again in America because Obama busted it wide open by bringing in 100,000 women and children this summer, mainly women and children, many of whom were infected with measles and the EDV68 virus, which is endemic in Honduras, and even tuberculosis and other diseases you haven't even heard of. He is rapidly turning this nation into a third world nation on a level of that with the nations from whence these individuals are being brought. Now you say, well, what is new about that? Didn't your father come here from Russia in 1922? Well, yeah, but he didn't come here with smallpox or measles or tuberculosis. If you remember the Godfather movie, remember little Vito Corleone was interned, quarantined at Ellis Island because he had a cough? Do you remember that? That was a scene that Coppola wisely put in to remind us that we had much saner men running America during that era of rapid population and immigration to the United States, where no sane country would let diseased individuals into the country, let alone terrorists into a country. But Obama seems to want as many diseased and as many terroristic as he can get. And you say, well, why do you say a thing like that, Michael? Why do you think he wants that? Okay, let's say he doesn't want it. He may as well want it because that's what's happening. If you're not screening the immigrants, then how do you know if they're terrorists or diseased? So if you're not screening them, it doesn't matter whether or not you actually want terrorists or the disease to enter. You're going to get them anyway. So therefore, ipso facto, he may as well be bringing in terrorists and diseased individuals. They see, this is how logic works. It's something the sorority didn't learn when they were learning how to crush their gelded opponents in the Republican Party in their Alinsky schools of social science. That goes to the next caller now. Line number 6, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Bill, and I'm calling from southern Arizona, listening to you via WBAP iHeartRadio.
Beautiful. And what's on your mind, Bill?
Lysenko. Mike, you're just a wonderful educator, and I thank you so much for that. Also, though, if I may add real quickly, your discussion about our Holy Father, Pope Francis, I'm a Catholic Christian. Fact is, to be truthful, I'm a Catholic priest, and I love our church very much. But your observation that he's a Marxist is something I'm afraid that seems to be, I didn't want to hear it, and I know a lot of us don't want to who are Catholic Christians, but you are spot on correct. He is going to be coming in September to our Arizona border here and also to the United Nations. It's going to be a photo op panoply of sorts.
Yes. Yes, a photo op with Obama to push the agenda of the New World Order socialists where there are no borders, and the Pope is going to lecture us about global warming, of which he knows nothing. He's going to lecture us about fairness, about bringing in illegal aliens. He'll probably wash the feet of some of the children along with Nancy Pelosi, which is a terrible thing for a Pope to do for two reasons. One, it's a lie. And number two, he's meddling in domestic politics. And number three, he has no business crossing that line. I really admire Catholicism. I think it's a fabulous religion. As a modern religion goes, there's something beautiful about the Catholic religion. But that doesn't mean that every Catholic has to worship a man, does it?
No, exactly. In matters of faith and morals, the Pope has it. He is ex cathedra from the chair of Peter. The Pope has it together. But with politics, he needs to stay out. He really does.
Well, why do you think he's so political, the Pope?
You do agree
he's super political, correct?
Oh, absolutely, sadly. Argentina, his upbringing, his Jesuit, something happened to the Jesuits long about Vatican II. And they used to be known as Defensor Fidei, Defenders of the Faith. Now they have become some sort of quasi-left-wing. There's a lot of really good Jesuits. I don't mean to put the whole order down because they're wonderful. But they have become very political, and it has become kind of scandalous for a lot of Catholic Christians.
Look, Father, I'm not calling you that because that's what you are. I'm calling you that because that's your title. You're a very thoughtful, kind man. I can hear it. It's probably not easy for you to even say these things on the radio. You started by saying Lysenko. How did you know about Lysenko? Because I'm the only one in the media who even knows the name. Yet I brought it up to show what happens when politics interferes with science. It destroys science. So how did you happen to know about Lysenko?
Well, I have to be honest, Michael, from you. You just know.
Oh, okay. Well, now a lot of people are going to research the Lysenko affair and what it meant to the Soviet Union, how it destroyed science, how it denuded agricultural policy. And my comparison was to the United States under Obama, where we have many little Lysenkos distorting medicine, distorting climate science to push the political agenda of the Soviet bureaucrats running this country. That was my main point.
Yes, and it's a very valid point. Absolutely. And also your respect for Gregor Mendel, as you know, no doubt, he was also an Augustinian monk.
I do know that. I remember learning it in college. I actually wanted to be a monk. I thought it was a nice life to sit there with beans and play with them. But as I grew up, I had other impulses than to play with beans.
Right, but good old Gregor Mendel got the whole ball rolling with genetics. And the Catholic Church, of course, has no... It's fides quarens intellectum, faith seeking reason. Sometimes, somehow, we get away from that. Our current Pope, becoming so politically involved, though, in getting outside of matters of faith and morals, I have written letters to the Vatican. It used to be that when you did that, you would always get a reply.
Mm.
This fellow, it hasn't happened, I'm afraid. Can I mention real quickly, there's a book, too, I heard an interview about from Paul L. Williams. It's entitled Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia. And I wish I could...
Now, Paul Williams is the fabulous broadcaster up in Detroit, isn't that correct?
Paul L. Williams. This fellow is an Irish author. He's a Roman Catholic. He loves...
Oh, it's a different Mr. Williams.
Different fellow, yes.
Well, you know, with men like you out there who know the truth and search for the truth, to me, the truth or the search for the truth... has been somewhat of a religious quest. And I believe that truth and God are one and the same. Would you argue that that's incorrect?
You are so correct. And by the way, the Jews, thanks be to God, are our elder brothers and sisters in faith. So shalom, pax domini.
Shalom aleichem. Thanks for that call. It's true. The truth, the search for truth or truth itself, is a religious experience. When you arrive at the truth, you'll see what I'm saying. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I guess we're talking about all the news of the day, opinions on the big lie being put out by various and sundry and the government media complex and trying to set you straight with the truth the way I see it. And I got to tell you, I was so impressed with the priest's call, the last caller, and it exemplifies to me the special nature of this program, and I think I have the best listeners in the country. It's hard to say. I think there's a lot of overlap, and I think each talk show host on a certain side of the political spectrum has a lot of overlap from one show to the other. But I think I tend to skew in a certain direction, and it's definitely on the upper side of the IQ, as exemplified by that call. And I want to thank you for listening so carefully. And that's why I took a chance by explaining the perversion of science and medicine under the Obama-Soviet machine and what it's a descendant of the Soviet Lysenko affair under Joseph Stalin. It was a big leap forward in my attempts to kind of explain what's going on, but put it in context without boring you to death with too much, you know, academic or highbrow stuff. It's that simple. I mean, there's a way to do it in the common parlance of an ordinary man with an ordinary you know, language with a good voice without blowing the audience away where they only listen to a story that has no meaning in their lives. I'll be back for another big hour right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
War and rumors of war. So it used to be that the three words that motivated the Democrat Party, they knew to avoid God, guns, and gays as issues. Remember that? That wasn't so long ago. God, guns, and gays were verboten topics. So now that Obama last week attacked God, there's only a few other areas. There's no more talk about gays. Basically, there's nothing more to be done there. I mean, the brainwashing is complete. There's re-education camps in every university, re-education camps in every corporation on that issue. And people have more or less become accepting of anyone's lifestyle. But there's one area that Obama has not yet imposed the radical leftist agenda, and that's why I predict that he will go for gun control within the next 6 months on the gun thing. And a hint of that was Eric Holder, the outgoing Attorney General, in clip 17. Listen to this.
It is, I think, the single failure that I point to in my time as Attorney General, that I was not able to, along with other members of the administration, convince Congress to really follow the will of the American people, which is to enact meaningful, reasonable gun safety measures. The gun lobby simply won. You know, and so I don't think we are a nation of cowards, but I think that members of Congress need to have a little more backbone.
Really, the gun lobby won? You mean the American people won and your radical leftist gun-grabbing agenda lost? Is that what you mean, Mr. Holder? The will of the American people? Which American people? Those who listen to MSNBC? That's a very small minority of the American people, sir. And then Obama gets on television again over the weekend with the propaganda channel, WH.gov, and lies about how good things are in clip 18. You got to hear this one. This is golden.
America's poised for another good year, as long as Washington works to keep this progress going.
Progress.
We have to choose. Will we accept an economy where only a few of us do spectacularly well?
Oh, please.
Or will we build an economy where everyone who works hard can get ahead?
Yeah, right, including the millions of illegal alien bums.
We've got more work to do to make sure that our recovery reaches more Americans, not just those at the top. That's what middle-class economics is all about.
Now, here's an anti-middle-class president, if ever there was one. He's a classic communist, Marxist, Leninist, whatever you want to call them. They've attacked the bourgeoisie or the middle class from the day Karl Marx was beginning his writing, his writings. It was always the bourgeoisie was the enemy. The middle class was the enemy of the Soviet system. And to Obama, the middle class has long been the enemy of the American system. But now the mantra for the elections is middle class, middle class, middle class, and to attack the rich. Let me ask you something. When he goes to Martha's Vineyard, does he stay with the middle class? When he goes to Hawaii, does he stay with the middle class? What in the world is this all about, this attack on the rich, when he associates only with the very rich? Because he has to. That's the way it's always been. Who else should a president associate with? A bum? What, should he hang around with people in the gutter? He should go have turkey with a homeless person? I mean, what kind of sense does this make for the leader of the free world to attack freedom itself on a daily basis? That's one issue. Ukraine is another issue. The warmonger John McCain, who is more deranged than ever, now wants arms sent there, but he's not alone. The astonishing mistake that Ted Cruz made this weekend has destroyed his chances to become president. He's finished. I don't know who advised Ted Cruz, but they sabotaged him. Now, Ted Cruz has some very good ideas. He's been a little wishy-washy, and, you know, he was forward before he's against, the kind of guy. And I would have voted for him, but for this. I want you to listen to clip 07.
When it comes to Russia and Ukraine, the path we're on doesn't make any sense. We need to be providing defensive arms to the people of Ukraine. We have a treaty obligation to stand with them, and we need to come together and provide defensive arms so that they can stand up against this Russian aggression.
End of story, finished. As they used to say, put a fork through Cruz, he's finished. He's done. Libertarians beware, Cruz has now become a neocon. And conservatives beware, Cruz has now become part of the brigade wanting war with Russia. Because when you give arms to one side in a conflict, whichever side you choose, you're going to escalate the fighting, aren't you? What are arms for? What is it, giving them squid arms? Giving them guns, artillery shells, artillery, heavy weapons. And what would those weapons be used for? To attack the Russian separatists? And let me ask you something. Try to be commonsensical, unlike the girls who run this country. If you escalate the shooting from the Ukraine side toward the separatists, and more separatists start to die and they get pushed back towards Russia, tell me what Russia will do. I'll give you three choices. A, Russia will do nothing. B, Russia will withdraw the separatists and say, please come home and give Ukraine up to NATO and the EU. Or three, Russia will back them up to the hilt and bring in the Air Force and destroy the Ukrainians altogether, wipe them off the planet, and escalate the war, and then go farther and take another country. Just take your choice of what's going to happen if you push Putin around too far. Remember, he's not John Boehner. The girls who run Obama think that Putin is just another white male like John Boehner who can be pushed around. Let me make it real easy for you. They're confusing one member of the species with another. They're confusing John Boehner with Vladimir Putin, but they're making a huge mistake in doing so. Putin is not John Boehner. No, my friends, he's Russian. Russians are different than you and I. They have a history, unlike you and I. We have no history. America has virtually no history. Some of you remember the Founding Fathers, but you couldn't tell us much of what happened between that and now. That's if you even know about the Founding Fathers. But you really don't know about the sacrifices that were made for us to be here and be free men and women. And nor do you care. All you want is your freedom, but you don't want to understand what it costs to get here and how the freedom is being taken away from us on a daily basis in this new Orwellian Soviet system that's emerged under Barry Obama. It's that simple. Moreover, Russia is our natural ally against radical Islam, and we should be engaging Russia rather than disengaging with Russia. This is the single greatest policy mistake of your lifetime. It took 50 years or more for the Cold War to end and for us to become partners with Russia in so many things. After all, Obama destroyed NASA within his first few months of having seized power. Did you know that? We had a great space program. He destroyed it. And what happened as a result of Obama destroying our ability to fly into space on our own? The American people had to buy seats on Soyuz rockets. We had to buy seats on Russian rockets to get to the International Space Station. Are you aware that that's how our astronauts get there? They fly in a Russian rocket to get to the space station. Try to think of what that means and what this Soviet system in America has done to us. Set us back 50 years in terms of space travel, space engineering. That's what he did to us. He destroyed our capacity to defend ourselves in space. But nevertheless, it was the Russians Russia is flying our astronauts to the space station. Now, what happens if you push Putin around too much and he says, I'll tell you what we're doing. You're not flying there at all. You can't go there. You know what happens? What happens to the men and women on the space station? Where are they going to get their food from? Keep pushing Putin around and see what happens to the gas going into Europe and to Ukraine. They'll freeze to death. It's a very cold winter over there, by the way. So you're dealing with a world power with a nuclear arsenal with an extremely potent military, and you're acting as though he's a banana republic leader who you could just push around. Worse yet, these people are acting as though he's, as I say, John Boehner. But Putin is not John Boehner. Those are some of the ideas that have been bothering me, and I thought I should express them. I'm outraged at what I see going on with Ted Cruz moving to the neocon side. John McCain has always been a lunatic, a warmonger, military-industrial complex salesman, and now he's just acting out what he's always wanted, which is arms for Ukraine, arms for Kurds. Everyone arms. Here an arm, there an arm, everywhere an arm, arm, because that's what happens when you arm people, is arms start flying around. When I call your number, please give us your name, your station, and your topic. Would you do that kindly? Let's go to line number 8. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, Norm is the Brexville, Ohio. I listen to you at 860 out of Detroit. Let me ask you a couple, three things, my friend. God bless you, number one. God bless you. Don't ever run out of nails. You made a statement a week ago, and I'm addicted to your program. I want you to know that. You ruined my dinner. You ruined the Romica Club. We could go on and on because I used to go to New York City as a trucker back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the comment of ISIS sympathizers, and I've been around a long time. I'm 66 years of age, got a few years in the military, blah, blah, blah. I did not know, doing talk radio in Cleveland, Ohio, how station management is so much here in northeastern Ohio, ISIS sympathizers and deniers. I cannot believe that phrase that you nailed and tattooed into my brain. I actually contacted a radio station in Akron, Canton, Ohio.
Wait. Which thing did I nail in your brain? ISIS is not BISIS, is not crisis. Is that one?
No. The ISIS deniers. The deniers.
Oh, the ISIS deniers. Yes, they're like, yes, I get it. The ISIS deniers are the same as the Holocaust deniers. That's what I said last Tuesday.
Absolutely. You were worth the wait. I mean, believe me, I've been in purgatory trying to get a hold of you on this. Sherrod Brown, a denier. Marcy Kaptur, a denier. Marcy Fudge, a denier. Okay, I even called La Tourette, and I knew Dennis Kucinich back in the day. You don't hear a word out of Dennis the Menace.
What happened to Kucinich? He was kind of a rebel.
He bought a little condominium in Georgetown, and he's trying to get a job on K Street. But let me this is very important to you. I gave a talk show host, thanks to you, right hand of God, a panic attack. He had to take 3 days off because I went total thermonuclear. Did not mention your name. I said, you are an ISIS denier. And let me tell you, this is going to drive you, believe me, you ain't never heard this before. He did not have the decency or the guts to go to this Holocaust museum in Beechwood. He actually trembled. And I said to him, I won't mention his name on the air, I said, you expect your children to be what in the future if you're afraid to go into the Holocaust Museum? And worse yet, what precipitated this conversation was he could not view the Jordanian pilot being, you know, incinerated. And I explained to him.
No, was a guy on air who you had a verbal exchange with, and you're telling us about it. But you used my phrase, an ISIS denier, to get to him. Is that more or less what you're saying, my friend?
Absolutely. No, Dr. Michael, believe me, they're fearful of that. I could not believe. My phone's been ringing. I don't bother away from anybody when I do political commentary here in Cleveland, Ohio. Believe me when I tell you. Because I got family in Lebanon, and you are so right on things. Don't ever run out of nails. If you ever need a safe house, I'm available, pal.
Let's hope I never need a safe house.
No. Let me tell you something. I go back.
The only safe house is God's house. Let me tell you that. And I walk in the shadow of God. That's all I do. And I pray to God that He protects me. That's all I can say. And I thank you for calling the show. Here's a little tidbit for those of you who want to know how your Pentagon is spending its money. It comes to us from the Washington Free Beacon. Pentagon spent $504,816 on Viagra last year. The DOD spent more than $500,000 on the male enhancement drug Viagra last year. Pentagon issued 60 contracts worth $504,000 for the drug in 2014. All 60 contracts were awarded to Cardinal Health, Inc., a pharmaceutical distribution company based in Dublin, Ohio. Last year, DOD also ordered $3,500 worth of Levitra and $14,000 worth of Cialis, other popular erectile dysfunction drugs. Listen to this. The contracts were filed under, quote, troop support. The DOD began offering Viagra to soldiers as a medical benefit in 1998 when the drug cost $10 a pill. Due to inflation, one pill now costs $25. Did you hear this one? Now, I have a question for you. Why does the military's health insurance system pay for Viagra, as well as external vacuum appliances or penis pumps, penile implants and testicular prosthesis, and hormone injections to treat erectile dysfunction? Do you think that's the same usage of money for the Department of Defense? Do you see how far we have come as a nation, where such treatments, while valid in the private sector, have no validity whatsoever, in my opinion, in the military? By the way, according to a Washington Free Beacon analysis, at $25 a pill, the amount of Viagra purchased by the Pentagon could have led to up to 80,770 hours, 33 minutes, and 36 seconds of sexual enhancement, assuming that no erection lasted more than the medically advised four-hour minimum. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. This just came out. You may as well play the breaking news sounder, because here we go. It's a confirmed what I feared. Here it goes. Here it goes. Because of the warmongers McCain, Ted Cruz, and others in the neocon establishment, Russia threatens nukes in Crimea. Free Beacon, Jack Caravelli. In December 2014, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov told Russia's Interfax news agency that because Crimea had been absorbed into Russia and was no longer part of Ukraine, Russia has the right to manage its nuclear arsenal in accordance with its interests and international legal obligations, close quote. Even the threat of an introduction by Russia of nuclear weapons into Crimea can be interpreted as a warning to European states that Russia is willing to escalate its effort to control what they call the near abroad. Introducing nuclear weapons also would cement Crimea's status as Russian territory. Lavrov's remarks are further confirmation that Russia has no intention of respecting the 1994 Budapest Memorandum. At that time, Russia, the U.S., U.K., and Ukraine agreed Ukraine would become a non-nuclear weapon state under the Non-Proliferation Treaty by giving up its nuclear weapons. At the time, it had the world's third largest stockpile, with 1,900 strategic warheads and 2,500 tactical nukes, in exchange for recognition by all signatories that they would respect Ukraine's territorial integrity. Well, that's history. Now Russia threatens nukes in Crimea. Thank you, John McCain. Thank you, Ted Cruz. Thank you, warmongers in the armaments industry. This is the Savage Nation. War and rumors of war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The president complains over the weekend on a far-left website, or a TV outlet, a website, a web TV thing, that we no longer have common facts and a common worldview the way we did 30 years ago when the media was dominated by phonies like Wilson or whatever his name. I can't remember his name. Williams. And he's upset that people have other access, a wider access to facts today, so people can decide for themselves what the truth is, right? Obama goes on the far-left media outlet Vox.com, as in Pox.com. Smallpox would do less damage than Vox.com. It's a child of the evil George Soros. And instead of appearing on a legitimate television outlet where he might, but rarely asked the question, look what happened when he went on CNN with that double agent with the weird eyes. I forget his name. He blames the media for divisiveness in the nation. This is a day after he attacks Christians. Listen to clip 20.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that, A, the balkanization of the media means that we just don't have a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview the way we did 20, 30 years ago. And that just keeps on accelerating. I'm not the first to observe this, but yeah, you've got the Fox News folks and then you've got the MSNBC folks. Technology, which brings the world to us, also allows us to narrow our point of view. That's contributed to it.
If you really listen to what this devious divider just said, your hair should catch fire. We don't have a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview the way we did 20 to 30 years ago. You mean when there was a media monopoly, as in the former Soviet Union, where the news was delivered by three Brian Wilsons in different form? whether the name was Walter Crankenhaus or any of the other news readers. They were giving us the same garbage. And now what? You can't control the propaganda, is what he's saying. And so when you attack Christians and Christianity, you're sorry that we don't have the common view that you were right when you were wrong. So, yeah, okay. Then he wants a constitutional amendment to fix polarization. I cannot believe this. This is astounding what he's doing. So here's the story. I'm not going to make this into an Obama bashing show. It's boring. But Obama is moving so far to the left that he's leaving the entire Democrat Party behind. And as he moves into the so-called twilight of his presidency, let's hope, what he is saying and doing is quite shocking. His words and actions show him to be an extremist of the most violent kind. And I use the word not uncarefully. He is likely to provoke a war with Russia. You see what's going on with Ukraine right now? None other than, what's his name, the bald guy with the weird map of the world on his head, Gorbachev. 2 weeks ago, Gorbachev, a darling of the liberals, a decade ago? A darling of the New World Order liberals, Gorbachev warned that we could have a nuclear exchange with Russia if they back Putin into a corner. And backing Putin into a corner is what Obama is doing, along with the girls who run this country. Girls like Susan Rice, dictating to our military how to fight a war against the Islamofascists called ISIS. They're not allowed to command a missile without one of these crazy girls telling them yes. And you wonder why ISIS is on a blitzkrieg. The only reason they're being pounded is because Jordan finally took the gloves off after they assassinated one of the Jordanian pilots by setting him on fire while he was alive in a cage. Remember that story? Guess it didn't make it to your local newspaper. Would have been a little too violent, and it would have shown you how incompetent this administration really is. Okay, so that's a big story. So now we wake up. Gorbachev says we could have a nuclear war with Russia if they keep pushing Putin into a corner. Now you have a guy like Obama trying to back Putin into a corner. It's not going to happen. Merkel, to her credit, she is the chancellor of Germany, has been flying around trying to stop a shooting war from breaking out in Ukraine. I don't know if she's going to succeed. Wednesday is the deadline for the two sides to come to some kind of terms. But Obama this morning gave a press conference with Chancellor Merkel, where again he provoked Putin. Again he threatened Putin. Again he said to Putin, well, you know what? We'll suspend a little more, whatever this we're going to do to you or that. But, you know, if you don't come to the table Wednesday, we're going to send arms to Ukraine. Although I haven't decided whether to send arms to Ukraine, I've decided to tell you I'm thinking of sending arms to the Ukraine unless you do what we tell you to do. Russia doesn't work that way. They know nothing about Vladimir Putin. These idiots in the White House know nothing about the Russian spirit. These morons think because they've steamrolled the geldings called the Republicans. These morons and these vicious, dangerous academic morons think that because they've neutralized the media and neutralized the ballless Republicans, the next stop is Moscow. Well, I got a little news for them. The Russians are a very tough people. They're much tougher than we are. And let me tell you something else. They have a history that they remember, unlike this country, which has amnesia when it comes to its own history. The fathers of these Russians, and many of them are still alive, ate pine sap rather than give in to Hitler. You have no idea who you are dealing with. You dummies, you. You dummies, you. All you know how to do is spy on American people, intimidate Republicans, neutralize the media, and you think that that's the same way as running over Putin. It's not going to happen. I'd really rather talk about the greatest science scandal of our lives. And I've been trying to do it, and I'm trying to tell you why this is happening and in what context it fits. So I went back to the Lysenko affair, something you haven't heard on Fox News because none of them went to college. They went to college, but they didn't learn anything. Let's put it that way. They learned law, maybe. They learned politics, but they didn't learn science. And Lysenko was a crackpot geneticist in Russia in the 40s and 50s, right? And he manipulated and distorted scientific data about genetics to give out the predetermined conclusion dictated by the Stalinist regime. in order to convince the Russian people that the theories of evolution that had preceded, based upon Gregor Mendel, Mendelian genetics, were invalid. And this political crank, Lysenko's concept of breeding plants, was the way to go, and it would increase the crop yield in Russia. Well, it was not, unfortunately, didn't work. It didn't work at all. Nevertheless, the core of Lysenkoism was to reject the work of Gregor Mendel and to denounce the concept of genes as idealists. Did you hear this? In other words, anything that didn't please Stalin, he called idealist. And that was one of Stalin's favorite snarl words for ideas he found unacceptable. And the point I'm making is you don't have to follow it from a science point of view. You don't have to be a genius in science to follow any of this. It was a fake. The science was all fake. And anyone who stood up to Lysenko in the Soviet Union in that day were publicly denounced the way Obama denounces people today. They lost Communist Party membership the way you are thrown out of clubs today. I don't mean nightclubs. If you express conservative views, you can lose jobs. If you talk about affirmative action being a disaster for America or about the lie of global warming, you can be thrown out of your job. And in those days in the Soviet Union, you could have been arrested by the secret police if you said, wait a minute, this Lysenko business is crap. Now, what you don't know is that this guy Lysenko had such a grip on science. Many, many of his opponents disappeared in the Soviet Union. Did you know that? They weren't just dismissed from their academic jobs. They disappeared. And similar political strong-arm tactics also hobbled the Soviet nuclear physics program because they were required to follow only theories that had the Communist Party's blessing. Did you hear this? Now, let me bring it down home. Let's bring it all down home. In America, right now, we're facing a measles epidemic brought in by Obama's massive influx of illegal alien children from Honduras and Central American countries this summer. 100,000 of their mothers and them came in. Many of them were unvaccinated or, frankly, carrying the measles virus, the EDV68 virus, which has caused death and paralysis, tuberculosis. He flooded America with sick immigrants this summer. And yet, the stooge at the CDC, this Thomas Friedman, who one day should be held up on war crimes charges for crimes against humanity for what he's doing, just as in the Soviet Union, I'm telling you, the truth will come out. And one day when the truth comes out, we need to have tribunals for these evil men. They're no different than the good Germans, and they're no different than the good Russians. They're no different than the Lysenkoists in the Soviet Union who lied and made certain that all science was ideologically pure, if you're following me. So this guy like Thomas Friedman at the CDC won't even tell you that this measles outbreak is coming from them. He'll tell you it's because of the elites in America or parents who are concerned and don't vaccinate their children. That's a minuscule reason. The maximal reason is the influx of illegal aliens with the measles virus. That's number one. You know, the show is a serial. How did we end up on Friday? If you missed the Friday show, I want to read you a short list of Friday's topics. We talked about a therapy kangaroo. And then we talked about Ruth Bader Ginsburg all in one breath. We talked about what the Second Amendment really means. We talked about Bruce Jenner. I guess he couldn't wait to be a 70-year-old granny tranny. We talked about female genital mutilation being outlawed. Well, how about male genital mutilation? Why is that not outlawed? The idiot media delivering ISIS propaganda. Remember I told you that on Friday? Remember I told you it was a lie? I'm the only one in the media who has the brains to understand what's really going on. It's not that people are stupid. They're not paying attention. I am proud to tell you that on Friday, do you remember the stories on all the news outlets, CNN, Fox News, all of them? They all said, ISIS claims Jordan airstrikes killed American hostage. I said, why are you feeding Nazi propaganda on your news channels? Even if that were true, they were using her as a human shield. So why would you feed Hitler's propaganda to the American people? Would you have done that in 1939, 40, 41? It would have been unheard of. But yet we got idiots in the media now who will feed Nazi propaganda to the American people. Jordan's now the bad guy for killing ISIS. You hear this? Well, I told you that A, it was probably a lie, and B, even if it wasn't, you had no right to run a story like that as a headline. And it ended on Friday with me talking about the president's incitements of America, like attacking Christianity for actions conducted 700 years ago by the Crusaders. It's astounding to me what went on Friday. And now we wake up today and we see an evolution of what happened on Friday. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. No, there's no England now. Is this the song that's going to be written about America after Obama gets through with his war against the nation? Will some rock group come up with there's no America now? Is that the end result here, the whole thing? Now, there's an interesting soundbite I haven't played yet on the Savage Nation, which is John Kerry saying that in order to defeat ISIS, we must address intolerance and economic hopelessness, which is perhaps the most ignorant statement I could ever imagine. Radical Islam has been at war with the world for 1,000 years, and this jerk, I'm sorry, it sounds like a college jerk, spouting off in a Harvard restaurant that it's because of poverty that the Islamists are murdering and killing and raping and enslaving. Listen to the stupidity of John Kerry in clip 12.
Countries need to adopt laws that crack down on terrorist recruitment. We have to address the intolerance, economic hopelessness,
please,
and exclusion in some of our societies.
What?
And we have to create alternatives to violent extremism in countries where it is prevalent.
Okay, all right. Exclusion, exclusion. So in other words, what he's saying is what? We should adopt an Islamist? Robert, take one home for dinner? Kerry's solution is to bring an Islamist home for dinner. Invite one home because they're excluded right now. They live in their own ghettos. They don't have jobs. They feel locked out of the larger society. And so Kerry's answer is the old liberal bugaboo that crime is caused by poverty. Now they've pushed it that terrorism is caused by poverty. That's the real reason here. It's not that they've been at war with the West for 1,000 years because it's a religious jihad against the West. No, no. It's poverty. And it's a feeling of exclusion. And if only you would adopt a terrorist and take one or two in your home, all terrorism would end, Robert. So I think that if you were a good American, you and Jim would think about adopting an Islamist over the weekend. Bring one home. Take two. Bring one home for dinner. Now, you know, it's said that the best example is to lead by example. I think John Kerry should bring a few home for dinner and show us what it means to take these poor Islamists who feel hopeless and excluded. Bring them in from Syria. Bring them in from Iraq and invite them to dinner in his townhouse in Georgetown and see if the dinner party will change their mind about the West. Even give them a job working for the State Department alongside some of the other sleepers in the State Department. Yep. Ukraine. Here are some of the topics Michael Savage has covered today to show you the depth of the show. Ukraine crisis, Obama in the media, lies of global warming, the new Soviet era in America, the Lysenko affair, the ignoramus in the restaurant I had to put up with Friday night, feminist extremists, rules for the new congressman, how they're told to shut up or they'll be thrown out in the cold. Ted Cruz calling for arming Ukraine, and I said put a fork through him, he's done. Hitler's Muslim fascination, John McCain's warmongering, sleeper cells in the U.S. according to the FBI director, my prediction that Obama will try to do gun grabbing in the next 6 months, a report from Samsung that your television is spying on you, my reading from Orwell's 1984 predicting that TVs would spy on us, Holder's war on guns, and of course, engaging with Russia, not engaging with a war with Russia. Those are some of the topics that I've touched on the Savage Nation. And as the show comes to an end, I think the most important one for me to play, other than my discussion of the Lysenko affair, which should be up on the website, michaelsavage.com tonight, I want to play for you the sad end of Ted Cruz in clip number 7. Listen carefully.
When it comes to Russia and Ukraine, The path we're on doesn't make any sense. We need to be providing defensive arms to the people of Ukraine. We have a treaty obligation to stand with them, and we need to come together and provide defensive arms so that they can stand up against this Russian aggression.
That's the end of Ted Cruz. Apparently the same people who undermined Romney, the same people who undermined every Republican conservative have been hired by the Ted Cruz machine, and they have just sabotaged him. He is no longer an independent nor a libertarian. He is now a neocon.
Savage.